So we are in a brand new series we started last week entitled God's Blueprint for a Well-Managed Life. God's Blueprint for a Well-Managed Life. And this series is all about applying God's word in your life so you can manage your life properly. How many know it's going to take God's word and God's guidance to manage your life properly, right? And if you manage your life properly, you can live, excuse me, an amazing life. And so we're going to last week we talked about living a surrendered life, right? We said it has to start from the heart. And so we talked about living a surrendered life. Today's lesson, we're going to talk about building blocks for a balanced life. Building blocks for a balanced life. You have to learn how to live a balanced life. You got it? Because if you're unbalanced, you're unhealthy. But if you're balanced, you're healthy. And we're going to jump right into the lesson because I have a lot that I want to share with you on today. And so how many points do you all think I have? You already know I've got three powerful points that are going to help us as it relates to building blocks for this balanced life. How do I take the word of God and how do I have balance in my life so I'm not too far to the left, I'm not too far to the right, you got it? I'm doing things God's way so I can get God results in my life, you got it? So we're going to jump right into it. Everybody say number one. Number one, let God's word be the final authority. Let God's word be the final authority. And that's where the rubber meets the road. At the end of the day, I have to take this word. David said, thy word, O Lord, have I hid where? In my heart, that I might not sin against you. I've got to take this word, and I've got to hide it in my heart so I can apply it in my life. I don't just read the word, you got it, but I've got to receive the word by faith so that way I can apply it so I can give God results in my life. So the word of God has to be the final authority in my life. We must value God's word in our lives above everything else. I don't care what's going on. We've got to learn how to value God's word in our lives above everything else. If it says it in God's word, I've got to release faith for it. I've got to stand on it, and I can't move to the left or to the right because God's word has to be the final authority in my life. If God's word says forgive, how many know I should forgive? If God's word says love, how many know I should love, right? Not, well, yeah, but so and so. No, no, no. Yeah, but I don't like my neighbor like that. It don't matter how you like your neighbor. The Bible says that we are to love everybody. You got, and my whole thing is either we're going to walk this word out or we're not going to walk this word out. And I don't know about you, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and we're going to walk this word out so we can see amazing results in our lives. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so you can't be led by your emotions. You got to be led by the word of God, all right? You got to do things God's way so you can get God results in your life. And God's word helps us to be balanced in our lives. Psalms 119, verse 105, he says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In other words, Lord, your word guides me. Your word is a compass. Do y'all know what a compass is? You got it? A compass is something that guides you. It takes you. It's kind of like, what do we call it? Apple Maps or Google Maps or Siri. But, you know, it's not like that exactly because Siri can get you off, but the word will never get you off. Apple Maps will have you going round and round and round she goes, right? But the word of God will always take you in the right direction, not sometime, but every single time. Yeah. Does that make sense? And so he says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. It guides me. It is my compass. It leads me in the right direction. The word of God is life's instruction manual. If you want to know how to treat people, go to the word of God. If you want to know how to be a good husband or a good wife, go to the word of God. If you want to know how to properly honor your parents, your pastor, or those in authority, go to the word of God. Like, no matter what it is, you always take the word of God because the word of God has to be the final authority in our lives. 2 Timothy 3 and 16 says that all scripture is inspired by God. So it is God-breathed, right? And it is useful to teach us what is true. John 17 and 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And so the word of God is absolute truth. And how many know where there's absolute truth? Opinions don't matter. right? You got an opinion about this and you got an opinion about that. Y'all can take all them opinions and throw it away and let's go right to the Word of God, because the Word of God gives us absolute truth, right? And he says it is inspired by God, or God-breathed, and it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. How does that work? As we read the Word of God and realize that we're not lining up with the Word of God, here comes the Holy Spirit, who loves us, but loves us enough to correct us and convict us to bring us to back where we need to be. Anybody besides me in the room, Holy Spirit ever had to convict you and correct you about something? You got it. And even though it might not feel good, it's the best thing for you in that moment, because even the Holy Spirit knows if you get off balance and you go too far to the left or too far to the right, you're going to mess up and you're going to make some choices that feel good now that you're going to regret later. Does that make sense? And so he says, let's keep reading. Let's start at verse 16 at the top again. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. So the Word guides us. It corrects us when we are wrong. Can I get a? And teaches us to do what is right. Can I get a praise the Lord? All right. Yeah. And so that's what the Bible does. And that is why it's important that we're not just hearing the Word or reading the Word on just Sunday only. But how many know throughout the week you need to hear the Word and you need to read the Word. You need to meditate on it. We've got on our website, we've got, you know, and even on our Bible app, we've got the Bible there. We've got devotions. It's got a 1-year Bible. It's got daily devotions. It's got all kind of things. But at some point, we've got to make it up in our mind that when I wake up, I'm going to wake up a little bit extra, and I'm going to make sure that I give God the first of my day. Amen. Does that make sense? All right. So, you know, the Word of God is so powerful that if you apply it consistently in faith, you will get amazing results in your life. Joshua 1:8, Joshua is now on the scene. Moses has died and the Spirit of God is coming and talking to Joshua. And in verse 8, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." He says, "But you shall meditate in it." How often, class? Yeah. So I submit to you, if Joshua had to meditate on the Word day and night, how many know we got to meditate on the Word day and night? Maybe the reason we get so topsy-turvy, I don't know if that's the right way to say that, tipsy-turvy, I don't know. But anyways, is because we're not meditating on the Word day and night. You got it. And so I have learned that when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I need to do is acknowledge God. I have learned that when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I'm going to do, yes, I have my own regimens for things I pray for, but the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to that Bible app and I'm going to find out what is today's verse of the day, because I need to start right away with the Word of God. And it doesn't matter what the verse is, the Holy Spirit has a way of communicating that one verse in a way that it will help you right where you are. Does that make sense? Yep. And so you got to make sure of that you do that, because you need to have the Word of God guide you and nothing else. Right? So he says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night." Why? "That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then," well, anytime it says "for then," you have to say when, right? When you do everything that the Word says do. He says, "Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." So the Bible talked about you being prosperous and you having good success, but it's relative to you taking this Word of God and applying it in your life consistently so you can get results. All right. So now let's keep going. Let's go to Matthew, the 4th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1-11, kind of a lot to read. And so, but this is Bible study. This is what we're doing anyways. And, just give you the backdrop. Jesus is in the wilderness and he's fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. All of a sudden he gets hungry, as you would if you fasted 40 days and 40 nights. If you fasted 4 days and 4 nights, amen. Praise the Lord. And then here comes the devil, like he always does. Always showing up. You got that. You know, the biggest problem with everything is the devil. Y'all know that, right? Right. Yeah, we like to point fingers at this and now. The biggest problem is the devil. Yeah, so stop pointing fingers at everybody. The biggest problem is the devil. And you got to learn how to let the devil be the first thing you cast out. Amen. You got it? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. The reason Pastor says balance in every area of my life, no matter what's going on, is because I always come back to the Word. And you got to learn how to always come back to the Word of God, all right? So Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 1st verse, if you're ready, say, "I'm ready." I'm ready. all right? It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter, that old snake, that old devil, came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But he answered, now, when anytime you see it written in red, what does that mean? Jesus is talking, right? He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I need the word of God, right? Not sometimes, but I need the word of God all the time. There you go. All right. Verse 5. Then the devil said, okay, that didn't work. So the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, then throw yourself down. How many know that Jesus didn't have to prove himself so you don't have to prove yourself?
Right.
All right. Right. He says, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. All right? So two times the enemy tries to tempt Jesus, it doesn't work. All right? Verse 8. Again the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the
world.
Come on, let's try it again. All the kingdoms of the
world.
All right? So you know, because the devil is the god of this world. But Jesus said, be not this way made, I've overcome the world, right? I've stripped it of its right to harm and to hurt you. And so, the devil was over praise and worship. You got it. And he all, you know, he all of a sudden wanted to be God. And he got hurled out of heaven and kicked out of heaven and those kind of things. And so now, you know, he's in the world. He thinks he got it going on. But the lake of fire is coming soon one day for him, right? And so he takes him and says, I'll give you all this like he's somebody. Right? Jesus says, away with you, Satan, or get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil did what? Left him. Does it say that right? Yeah. Then the devil did what? Left him. And behold, angels came and ministered to him. Why did the devil leave him? Because every time the enemy came at him, Jesus came at him with the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. When you come at the devil with the word, he can't take it because you are resisting him. And the Bible says that if you resist the devil, he has to flee. And so you have to understand that the power is in the word. All right. Everybody said
the power
is in the word.
It's in the word.
That's why, you can't be fussing and fighting with people because the power is not in you fussing and fighting. The power is in the word. You got it. Your amen was soft, but I know I'm telling the truth. Praise the Lord. All right. So no, every time the enemy tempted him, Jesus responded with the word. He would say, it is written. His life was governed by the authority of God's word and not his feelings or his circumstances.
Right.
Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. All right. He was hungry. He was tired. He might have been emotional. You understand what I'm saying? And here come that old snake, that old serpent, that old devil. But Jesus had enough in him to know it doesn't matter what's going on. I always respond with the word. So every time the enemy shows up, we must respond with the word of God and not the circumstance we've got going on. We must respond with the word of God and not our emotions, all right? Because if you're not careful, your emotions will get you in trouble. Am I right? Anybody in the room besides me, everybody ever made a bad decision because of emotions? Everybody in the room. You got it. And we can put up two hands. Isn't that right? And the whole thing is, prayerfully, we learn from making a bad decision with that emotions. See, when you make a mistake, it's no problem that you made a mistake as long as you learn from your mistake. If you learn from your mistake, then you overcome the mistake and the mistake don't overcome you. Does that make sense? Look at your neighbor and say, he's teaching real good, whether you know or not. He's teaching real good. All right? So that's why the writer says, be slow to speak, be swift to hear, and be slow to wrath. All right? Yeah, be slow to speak. You see something you don't like. Don't say nothing. Hold up. Stop. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
All right? I'm not saying anything. I'm going to be slow to hear. And ultimately, I'm going to be slow to hear the Holy Spirit and what he has to say in my life. and then be slow to wrath. Amen. All right, y'all get upset with one another, and if you're not careful, you allow your emotion to go off, and y'all going round and round and round. She goes, and you fussing, you fighting, you make me sick, and you make me sick, and y'all, and both of y'all Christians, both of y'all child of God, you got it, you know, and y'all mad at each other. You got it. And if you're not careful, you think that God is mad at that person, and that person thinks that God is mad, and God ain't mad at neither of y'all. You understand? Because Joshua comes up to God and says, "Are you for me or are you for my enemies?" And the Lord rebuked him and said, "It's not about me being for you, but it's about you being for me." And so you got to make it up in your mind, you got it, that man, I'm going to slow down. I'm going to do things God's way so I can get God results in my life. All right. So point number one is let God's word be the final authority. Let his word be the final authority. If it says forgive. If it says love one another. Love. Yeah, it didn't just say forgive. It says forgive a whole lot of times. Yeah. You got it. Basically to infinity and beyond. Right. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Everybody say number two.
Number two,
make godly choices that align with wisdom. Make godly, so the word of God has to be my final authority. And the second building block is I have to make godly choices that align with wisdom. Make godly choices that align with wisdom. Deuteronomy 30 and 19, a very familiar passage of scripture. It says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you,"
right.
And
yes.
He said, "blessings and,"
curses.
Watch what the writer says. He says, now choose what, class? He says, choose life, Zoe, that you and your children may live. And so the choices that we make today, you got it, are so powerful because they don't just affect today, but they affect tomorrow and next month and next year. You got it? And not only do they not only affect today, but tomorrow, next month, and next year, but they affect me and my children and my children's children. They affect my family. They affect people around me. They affect people that I love. So it's so important that I make sure that anytime I do anything, what does the writer say? Do count up the cost before you make that decision. So before I make any decision, before I step out, before I do anything, I need to count up the cost. Is this going to help me or is this going to hurt me? Before making any decisions, you have to ask yourself, how this will this affect me and the ones that I love as I move forward with this choice? Because, watch this, if we're spirit-led, typically we'll make the right choice that puts us and everybody else in the right spot.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah. You know, as your pastor, I think long and hard about anything that I do. You got it. I think long and hard. I pray about moves that I make. I pray about anything that I have, you know, do in life, period. Because I understand that the decisions I make, they affect me. They affect Lady J and Hannah. They affect my family. They affect my staff. They affect the leaders of this church. They affect the members of it affects everybody. You got it? So now when I make decisions, I'm not just making an emotional decision because I have to allow this decision that I'm going to make to be well thought out because it affects a lot of people. And my goal is never to harm or hurt everybody, but to only help everybody. Does that make sense? And you have to do the same thing in your life and in your situation that anytime I make a decision, anytime I move forward, I'm always going to make decisions, watch this, not just based on what I feel, but that are good for everybody around me. Because see, my thing is, I'm not going to hurt anybody.
Right.
Oh, okay. All right. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6. Y'all a quiet crowd today, all right? That's okay. I brought my own amens. Amen, Pastor. Well, that was good teaching, brother man. Proverbs 3 and 5. Trust in the Lord with a little bit of your heart. With some of your heart. That's right. It says trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. Quit leaning. Stand up straight. He says lean not to your own understanding. You got it? I almost had a boot camp minute for a minute. Praise the Lord. I ain't been in boot camp in 26 years, praise the Lord. Sir, yes, sir. You know. All right. He says, in some of your ways, in a few of your ways, depending on how you feel in the moment. Well, it's okay if you're mad right now. He says, in all your ways, do what?
Submit
to him. And what's going to happen? He's going to make your path straight. See, can I be honest with you? Most of the time when we get in our emotions, even as believers, we don't do what the Bible says do. We think we do what the Bible says do, but we get in our emotion, and we do whatever we want to do, and then we go talk to God later, Lord, I'm sorry. When if we would just count up the cost and make good decisions and talk to God first, come on somebody, about a decision that I make, you got it, then, watch this, it wouldn't be bad. So he says, trust in the Lord, think about this, with all your heart. He says, lean not to your own understanding. Why does he push lean? Because you'll see this in other places in the Bible about not leaning to your own understanding, because our understanding is limited and often shaped by emotions and our past experiences. So a lot of times we make decisions based on those things. However, God is all-knowing, you got it. He's omniscient, you got it. He sees your end from your beginning. And so he has the ability to give you the wisdom you need to make whatever decision you need. You're at work, man, that's it. Forget it, I'm leaving these jokers. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? You know, I'm just going to walk out right now. And then your manager come by and say something smart, you got it? And you think it's the cue, you know, for you to get up and go when that was just the devil. You got it? And so if you're not careful, boom, that's it, I'm leaving. And I get up and I leave and I'm gone. And I never thought about a five-letter word, B-I-L-L-S. A six-letter word, F-A-M-I-L-Y. I got a family. Come on, somebody. I got bills. You got it? But all because I got in my emotions and made a bad choice. You got it? That wasn't God telling you to leave. That was the devil. Because if the Holy Spirit's going to tell you to leave, he's going to say, okay, we don't do anything before we count the cost, and this is what we're going to do. You understand? If it's God's will for you to leave, you're going to have something in line. Come on, somebody. Because that's the wisdom of God. Right? But you just, I figured out on the fly. Okay, all right. All right. Don't call me. Don't call me. All right, pray. Well, Pastor, you understand? And I start asking you questions. And it's funny when people come to you for help, they don't want you to ask them any questions. Have you ever noticed that? And when you ask them all these questions, you get to finding out, okay, you know, the common denominator in all these problems is Y-O-U. You got it? But now you want M-E to dish out. But had you kept your job, you're not about to lose your job today. Pastor gonna help you keep that job. Yes, he is. So lean not. Everybody say not.
Not.
Not to your own understanding. You got it? Leaning on our own understanding can cause us to make choices that feel right in the moment that I regret later.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why I pray every day, God, I need you. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I need you to help me. I realize I'm not that smart. You got it? You ain't never got to come up and tell me, well, Pastor, you ain't got to tell me, I already know. That's why I lean on Jesus. You got it. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. The Holy Spirit will step in and he'll lead me and he'll guide me and he'll help me in my life, right? And so James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, all you got to do is ask of God, who gives generously without finding fault. So ask God for wisdom before you make that impulsive purchase that's going to set you back. So ask God for wisdom before you make that career move without seeking God's guidance. So ask God for wisdom before speaking in anger just to get something off your chest. So ask God for wisdom before you date that person with red flags. You got it? So you have to take time to pray. Take time to fast. Take time to hear from God before making moves. But what happens is, because of the way our flesh is, we're prone. We don't like to wait. We want to make a move right now. I want to tell you how I feel about you right now. Where the Lord says, no, you don't. You're going to carry yourself back to the house, and you're going to pray. And then when you pray, you realize, okay, I don't need to tell nobody nothing. I just need to keep myself together, praise the Lord. Right? See, thank you. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's just a good place to look at your name and say, he really is teaching good today. He really is teaching good. Now, it's just a great time to give the Lord a big hand praise. Amen. See, at some point in your life, you got to choose. Let's go home, court. I actually still have another point, but because I like that metacritical music, I'm a, you know, she's been on vacation, so she well rested. Yeah, she's glad to be back, doing good, praise the Lord. I did ask her how it was. She said it wasn't long enough, praise the Lord. Amen. That's most vacations, praise the Lord. But she is happy to be back here at her church and her pastor, who's a good boss. Let me stop. So you got to choose conviction over compromise. Everybody say conviction over compromise. And if you begin to look at your life day in and day out, you'll find several times in the day you have the choice to choose conviction or to choose compromise. And you've got to learn how to set your heart so in tune with the Spirit of God that it's easy to choose conviction every time over compromise. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really talk about this a lot, and maybe you don't really know this. Sometimes I tell people, you know, I really didn't want a pastor. Like, that wasn't really, like, something I was just like, oh God, I want to go. And no. I was, just truth be told, I was running an extremely successful business. I was making millions of dollars a year. That's not like, you know, by faith, literal money. I was assisting my pastor in ministry and I was doing missions. You got it? And I love doing missions. That was my thing. I would go with my dad and we would go to Jamaica and we would go to Haiti and and that's all I wanted to do. You got it? And then it's kind of like, because I didn't need to be the man. One thing, if you know, you've been around me long enough, you will know Pastor really ain't big on himself. I'm not big on titles. I don't need anyone to bow down to me. I just don't need that kind of stuff. You got it? I don't. And so when the Lord put the burden on me, I started thinking about, because my father was a pastor, lady's father was a pastor. So can I just be real honest with y'all? Just be real transparent. I just saw how everybody treated them. I ain't want nothing to do with that. I saw my dad and her dad pouring and their wives pouring their lives in the ministry. And it's like you could do 100 things right and one thing wrong. And they never remember the 100 things right that my dad did. They only remembered the one thing wrong. And I was like, nah, I'm good, Lord. I'm straight. I don't need that. You know, because, you know, Pastor Evan said it the other week. He said it's just pastor and lady. We literally have 800-900 members, like active members. Now, we don't see everybody on the same Sunday. You got your every Sunday people. You got your every other Sunday people. You got your every third Sunday. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that's just the truth, you know, just how it is. You know, I wish everybody come every Sunday, but I'm not getting into that. And so, you know, so it's going to be hard for me and Lady to make everybody happy and to please everybody. So you know what we've learned to do? Do our best to please God. And in pleasing God, we will make a lot of people happy, but ultimately our help comes from Him.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
When we built all these buildings and bought all this, everybody was all excited. You got it? I wasn't super excited because we had to go get a loan for several millions of dollars. And my whole thing is, people have shown you they can be with you one day and they can be gone the next.
Amen.
I'm not being mean. That's just what it is. Did somebody get mad about one little thing that happened that wasn't even against Scripture? It just was against what they wanted.
Right, right.
And so this is what I told the Lord. He wanted me to have a conviction that this was what He called me to.
Right.
But I wanted to compromise. And I said, Lord, you know, I'm doing really good in business. I give a lot of money to the kingdom of God. A lot of money. And Lord, I'm helping all kind of people. But Lady and I just bought this person a car. This person just moved in and we furnished their house totally. You got it? And we're writing checks, just writing checks, right? But God saw what I didn't see. He saw the impact that we would make over the entire ministry, probably hundreds of thousands of people's lives that we would end up reaching. He saw the lives that would be changed. He saw the families that would be reconciled. He saw the hope that would be restored. He saw the balance that I would walk in to be a good example to you to help you walk in balance. So I had to choose conviction over compromise. And so even though it's something I didn't really want to do, because I don't want flack. I don't need flack. Because see, if you give me flack, I'm not going to fight you back because I'm not cut from that cloth. I'm not going to do that. I remember one time, well, I don't know why I'm going this route, but I'm going down this route today, praise the Lord. I was about to teach Bible study. Someone said they wanted to talk to me. And as far as I know, up until that point, everything had been really good with us. And they walked in, and they were upset about something. I don't even know what they were upset about. And cussed Pastor out. And I said, okay, praise the Lord. You know, okay, no problem. And no problem is just a word I use. You know, they get mad because I'm saying no problem. What do you want me to do? Give you a problem? Like, because in the natural, it felt like sometimes you couldn't win for losing. But I was a man of faith, so I knew I couldn't lose. But I knew I could love. Because love bears all things, believes all things, and hopes for all things, which is my third point. Walk in love and just treat people right. Regardless of how they feel, regardless of their opinion, can you just two agree to disagree without making Jesus look bad in the earth? Matthew 7 and 12. So in everything, in what?
Everything.
In everything, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. James 13 and 35. By this, not some people, but everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know that he put no criteria for me loving you? He just said, just love one another. Don't love people because they believe like you. Because a lot of people don't believe like me, I still love them. Doesn't even mean I have to agree with them, but I'm still going to love you. Ephesians 4 and 32, be kind and compassionate. My God, if we could just do that to one another, forgiving one another, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Y'all remember the Samaritan, the good Samaritan we call him in the Bible? You know, he helped the guy who didn't look like him and didn't believe like him. And as a matter of fact, they didn't even like Samaritans. But the Good Samaritan demonstrated compassion and love beyond any cultural divides, any racial divide. It wasn't about that. His whole thing is they're hurting, they need help. I'm going to step in, I'm going to do it. Why can't we be like the Good Samaritan? Joseph, though betrayed by his brothers, he forgave and he provided for them, choosing mercy over revenge. We got to be like Joseph. We got to be like the Good Samaritan, but ultimately, we got to learn to be like Jesus. So just repeat with me. So say, Father, I thank you for the wisdom and clarity to live a well-managed life, to love like you, to treat others like you. I thank you that your word is the final authority in my life. Your wisdom guides my decisions, and your love directs my relationships. Help me to settle my emotions and apply your word in my life at all times. I thank you that my life is well managed because it's surrendered to you. I thank you for it. I give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now give the Lord a big hand praise all over the world. So, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that this word will not fall on deaf ears. But, Father, I thank you that this word will take root because your people, they will receive it with gladness. And not only receive it with gladness, but begin to apply it in your life, in their lives. And so, Father, I thank you for what you're doing in this church. I thank you for because before we can move on to the world, we got to make sure the church is right. And not the church at large, just Without Limits Christian Center. And so, Father, I thank you that our hearts are pure and they're right toward you. I thank you that we choose to do things your way so we can get your results in our lives. I thank you for healing first starting here at Without Limits Christian Center in the name of Jesus. I thank you in the name of Jesus that, Father, we choose to humble ourselves, to seek yourself, pray, and to turn from any wicked ways so that you can be our God and that we can be your people. We thank you for it. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. One more big hand. Isn't he a good God?